hope that you're able to interact with us. Thank you for tuning in all week and sticking with us even in the absence of Pastor Aaron. So normally it's us on the normal crew on Friday, but today we have Brother Rick with us. So many of you may recognize him, some of you may not, but how are you doing, Brother Rick?
I'm doing great. Such an honor to be here today.
Amen.
Missed being on here for a while.
I know it. I know. You've came in with some different crowds, Brother Denny, Miss Kaylee, and we just so enjoyed every time that you're able to come on with us. And we're actually today going to talk about a book that we've been studying, so I'm excited about that. It's been really awesome. Some really good chapters in there. But this morning, I will go ahead and get to some announcements real quick. We don't have many right now. So again, if you want to email us any announcements for your church, current events going on with Christmas coming up and other things, we can go ahead and get those on the calendar. If you want to email us, studio1@box2radio.com. You can email us the information and we can get that on the events for you. And don't forget, the women's meeting is coming up here, the ladies' meeting here at Bethel Fellowship on November the 14th. So that will start at 6 o'clock. Several have asked the time on that. 6 o'clock. And basketball game, the BCA basketball game, will be that same night, going on starting at 5:30. So the basketball game will be 5:30 and the women's meeting will be at 6 o'clock. So excited, so thankful for the ladies who have helped put this together, and so excited to hear Miss Renee Otterburn bring the word of God. So looking forward to that. And then don't forget that we will have drop off food donations available here Wednesdays and Saturdays. So this Saturday will be 10 a.m. to 12, and then it will continue Wednesdays 4:30 to 6 and Saturdays 10 to 12. And then also Clarkson Community Church wanted us to get the word out that they are also collecting food for the community at their church. So if you're in the Clarkson area, you can head to Clarkson Community, get your food and their donations in there. And also, don't forget about Operation Christmas Child. That the deadline for that will be coming up this month. And it's not too late to get your box ready. And if you have any questions on that, we can connect you with Miss Melanie. But if you go to SamaritansPurse.org, they will have all the information on that for you. So that should be all for our announcements. And I do have a quote today. Quote of the day. It's Billy Graham. Billy Graham, the will of God will not take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us.
Amen.
The will of God will not take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. Amen. Thankful for Billy Graham, that his laboring in the kingdom and the legacy that he left behind. So he just popped in my head this morning. And then also the proverb of the day. We've been keeping this going too. Proverbs, I love this one. Proverbs 11:10, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. So the part that I love, that when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices.
Amen.
And I think there's actually another one that talks about how the city is exalted when the righteous are in places of power. And that's true. You know, when a righteous person is, you know, right with God, bringing the kingdom, it affects the whole city. And so I love those proverbs there too. And again, don't forget, if you want to interact this morning, comments, questions, Bible questions, topics, my number is 270-589-7933 if you want to get your text in there. So we are also in Hosea. We're still in chapter 2. We should finish that out today. We kind of went back and forth, but it has been so good just to see look at the foreshadowing of God's faithfulness, not only with Israel, which is amazing, also his faithfulness with us, and how we can use these scriptures and hold on to these scriptures for those who have not yet come to the Lord, the prodigals in our life that we're praying for. So it's been amazing to look at that. So Yesterday we started in verse 15. Today we're going to go starting in verse 19, Hosea chapter 2, verse 19. And I'm in King James, so I think me and Brother Rick would be on the same.
There you go.
The same page here. So verse 19, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. That's the end of this paragraph here. And I love that so much. That's talking about us. And we did talk about this, that verse 23, a few days ago, just because looking at how we can pray this over our lost ones, because he's saying people that never were called his people, he's going to call his people. And we know that he's talking about grafting in the Gentiles there. But it just shows his faithfulness. And he talks about it. He says, I am faithful. I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And it really takes away any ability for us to say, you know, it's by our works or by our might. This is the Lord, to me, this is the Lord's showing us everything that I'm about to do is by my power.
Right.
And no one will be able to say that they delivered themselves or they conquered.
That's right.
It will be the Lord. And I think that's why he even, you know, called Hosea to love an unfaithful wife, to show that only God can, you know, somebody can only do that when they have the Lord. They have the love of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for his glory. So yesterday we talked about how the significance of how the Lord said that people would no longer call him their master, but now call him their husband.
Right.
And that was so significant because of, you know, the idolatry.
That's right.
And I think that's still so significant for us today. The words there was Ishi and Bali. And my study notes say that the former is a term of affection and represents the closest loving relationship. The latter indicates servitude and inferiority. So the Lord took us from a place of inferiority. You know, he's taking his people from a place of inferiority to a place of the closest loving relationship that there is.
That's right. Amen. You know, going back to 19, when he said, I will betroth thee to me forever. Yeah, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. Think about that. These are people, he's talking about the Gentiles who are, you know, they have nothing to do with him whatsoever. And he says, I'm going to bring you in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm bringing you in righteousness. And we forget that, you know, God is bringing us in the right way, in a righteous way. And righteousness means more than just, okay, I'm bringing you into the fold. No, I'm bringing you in righteousness. This is a righteous path. This is a righteous way in following the Lord and following the love of the Lord. And I think that we have to understand it. And then, and in judgment. So you're gonna be looked at. You're going to have to measure up and in the loving kindness and in mercy. So he's looking at all areas. He's bringing you in righteousness. He's bringing you in judgment. And so your past must be forgiven, but he's bringing you in loving kindness and in his mercy. So he's going to have mercy upon us that it's talking there. And then it says, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And I just think that's powerful when you think about that. I'm bringing out all of these things. I'm having mercy and kindness, and now I'm making you my bride.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
it kind of reminds you of like the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I like how he's talking to Hosea here, and Hosea is allowing the Lord to use him as the mouthpiece and to write these words down that God has said. Some people think, you know, the writers of the Bible, you know, they just was, intellectuals that had talent for writing. That's not it. This is words that's been inspired by the Holy mm-hmm. Ghost. This is not just an accident, and they didn't write this way. I feel like Hosea could not have written
Mm-mm.
if the Holy Spirit had not been with him
yeah.
and had gave him these very words to speak. And so when we read these scriptures and we look at them, then we have to look at them, I feel, in a different light and realize this is not talking about somebody else, but if you know Jesus, it's talking about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a personal word.
Yeah.
That's so good. I love that. I do also love that part about betroth thee unto me in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we took, you know, I've been trying to look for Jesus in every line and every part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the way that we're betrothed, is in Jesus. Because
yeah.
he is the righteousness of God.
That's
you know?
Right.
And we now we're the righteousness of God. And when we get married, two become one. So it's like
that's right.
That's righteousness is the path. It's the bridge. It's the connector because it's Jesus. He is our righteousness.
That's right.
And he is the only reason that we can stand righteous before God. And that just, you know, I did that little visual that Pastor Aaron has done from time to time with the double imputation of Christ's righteousness
uh-huh.
of that divine exchange, you know, the sin, Jesus taking on the garment of sin and crucifying that,
right.
becoming sin and killing it, and then, you know, taking that off of us and putting on his righteousness
Amen.
Onto us. I did that with the kids one morning, and I hope that sticks with them because I know it did with me. You know,
yeah.
I've always known the gospel, but just seeing that visual,
yeah.
you know, and understanding, I feel like I've always known the gospel, but whenever you really start to get the fact that it's Christ, like
mm-hmm.
it's no longer me that lives, but him, it's only by his righteousness, what
right.
he did. And we all know that he died on the cross for us, but the fact that he covered us with that. It's like things that we know, but whenever it means something to
mm-hmm.
us, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's so different when it means something to us because we realize there is truly, like this word is true, where there's truly no other way but by Jesus and
Amen.
Through Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, and you know, that's an easy thought to forget because when he's talking about in here, all of these things happen, like you said, because of the death, burial, and resurrection,
mm-hmm.
the sacrifice that was made. This wasn't an easy thing. This was something other that the only way that we could be grafted in and adopted in is through the crucifixion
mm-hmm.
and the forgiveness of sins. Of course, that's for everyone. Even the Jew has to go through the same process, but of forgiveness and asking Christ into their heart. But knowing that all these things he did in thought of me and make it personal and thought of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did this for me. And I think that, you know, we have to make these things personal in our lives when we read the Bible, make it personal to ourselves. We know it's for all people, but we have to understand is talking about me as
mm-hmm.
well, not just a group. He's talking about me.
Yeah, because we're grafted in.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bible says he had this plan before the foundation of the world, even, you know, even before Hosea's time.
Right.
And during Hosea's time, it's like, and what's amazing to me is all the other ones before Jesus, and I still think Jesus, he surrendered his divinity, his
yes.
benefits. So I still don't think he knew a lot of what we think he might know. because he surrendered a lot of that, that all knowing
deity and everything.
But it's so amazing to me how, you know, God used just ordinary men that just put their trust in him. They were like, you know, I don't understand. I don't know what's to come. But I think that whenever we do meet the Lord, you know, think about how amazing it's going to be to feel and know that you were a part of this plan. You were right. A part of God's, his divine plan. Ultimate, you know, all plan. Of these people that got to be used by him. And we were included in this because this work is continuing on until the day he returns.
Amen.
So, you know, we sometimes feel probably inferior to the ones in the Word.
Right.
The characters and the people that, you know, that God used. But just as they were used, and they will get to look back and feel that joy that they were able to be a part of his plan. We're in his plan too right now, and he has a plan to use us to bring as many people in to the kingdom as possible before he returns. And honestly, I feel like each time would probably like to experience the other time. You know, each people in different times would like to experience the other times.
Right.
Because we're not there, and our human nature always wants what we don't have.
Isn't that funny? You mentioned that. Sometimes I believe we think, you know, well, if I was in that time, I wouldn't be as tempted as I am right now, and I could probably live a more righteous life.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. People were being murdered for their belief in Christ.
Yeah.
So you really want to go back to that time right now, thinking you're going to be living closer to God? If you're right there dealing with all that, I don't think that we would. And I'm sure that, you know, we think that. But I got to thinking, too, as we was reading this, sometimes people think because of position or people look at other people that are pastors or teachers or leaders in a church and think them maybe higher than themselves. Well, they're really hearing from God more than I am. God speaks to every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants relationship with every one of
mm-hmm.
us. And so we forget that. And so Jesus is, and God is speaking through his word here. And we know the word is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is that the when you say the word, he the word is the word. Christ. So this is Christ speaking to Hosea. This is about him. This is all about him and what he's getting ready to do. And he has done now. This is what he was going to do. But this is now we're looking at is it has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come in, all of these things happen. And this word is alive and it's real and it's speaking to us. And when we read it, it's not talking about something other that happened in the past, but these are the things that are now happened, and we can join in that when we accept Christ into our heart.
This is interesting. So remind me of this first before I go here, but how many pieces of silver was it that Judas betrayed?
30.
It was 30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's 30 here, 30 pieces of silver that Gomer is bought with.
Right.
By Hosea. That's really cool.
Type in shadows.
And it says that was, I didn't know this, but it was typically the price commonly paid for a slave.
Yes. That's
to
it.
To buy a slave.
Yep.
And we were a slave to unrighteousness. We were a slave to sin.
Amen.
And Amen. Little did even Judas know that, you know, he was betraying with that amount, but that was the very amount that signifies, you know, purchasing a slave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jesus, he purchased us. And through even that prophecy being fulfilled, you know, even in Judas's, he's still going to be judged for what he did. But it's just amazing how God works what the enemy intended for evil.
God did it for good.
And turns it for good. And that right there, you know, slaves were set free, the captive set free
yep.
by one by the, you know, the second Adam, as they, as, mm-hmm. as it says, as the one, the perfect one, the perfect lamb that, that was the only one the whole time that could ever do it. But I love here how that, that shadow, it, it ends up talking about, I think it's in verse 2 of chapter 3, once we get there, it talks about the 30 pieces of silver that just, that caught my attention there. That's really cool.
Amen. Amen. It's funny when you're reading the Bible how that you go back and it's connecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it always agrees. I was at the Creation Museum yesterday and got to go through there. Yeah, it's very, very good. You know, they had some films that you could see, some mm-hmm. movies, you know, and one of them.
I think I might have actually liked the, I think I liked the Creation Museum better than the Ark. Have you all been to the Ark?
Yeah, we went to both. We went to one day and then the other other day. And, of course, the museum, the Creation Museum was the last. But we're sitting in this one movie, you know, and you're watching this, and you're in these chairs that's reactive.
Uh-huh.
And you get on these 4D glasses, and you're sitting there. And it was really neat. Of course, when I put on 3D or 4D glasses, man, it's very hard for me to see out of those because it's like, you know, I can't, trying to adjust my eyes. And about the time I get my eyes adjusted, it changes the picture to something completely different. And it's like, wow. But in this chair, you're sitting there, and all of a sudden it feels like somebody smacks you in the back because it goes to a different scene and it'll feel like, you know,
really?
and then the seat may vibrate, and you're feeling something other there.
And so then, it's like all your senses engaged in this thing.
And then the other thing was all of a sudden it squirts out this air and it hits you in the face, you know, and it's kind of like, where'd that come from?
It sounds like a ride, you know, like one of those rides.
It was. And, but it was very interesting because you learned a lot through that, and I like how they paralleled what the secular thought was compared to the biblical thought, and it helps people to understand. Really, for me, I was talking to the men in our Bible study last mm-hmm. night. How people can believe in evolution compared mm-hmm. to creation.
Creation, yeah.
And one of them said, yeah, you know, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in creation. Because it just, I mean, I love it when things make sense.
Me too, yeah.
And it makes sense when you read creation.
There's evidence to back it up, you know?
Yeah, there's evidence. And nobody has been able to refute the Bible.
Mm-mm.
They've tried. They'll try to come out with all kinds of books, and they'll try to come out with all kinds of theories, but they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They just have, and we'll go to their own, or to their own thought, there's no scientific fact
mm-hmm.
that they can use. There's nothing there. And so when we read the Bible and understand where the word came from and how many scrolls there were and how did they seal them and how did they protect them that they went through all of these centuries and decades to be able to come to a place where somebody could sit down and bring all these words together that God had written to us. Because we have to remember, in the Old Testament, they didn't have an Old Testament.
Yeah.
And in the New Testament, they had an Old Testament to read.
But they were living the New Testament.
But they were living the New Testament. And so it was being written as they lived it. We have that blessing now. And so it gives us faith and hope and something other to rely on. Because now we've got something other tangible that we mm-hmm. can read and understand. God, you did this for us.
I was thinking about that earlier when you were talking about why would we want to go back and live in those times. I was thinking, you know, we forget that they would have had to have a lot more faith.
Yeah.
Like I truly do believe they would have had to have more faith because now in the sense of it does say blessed are those who see and without seeing, still believe.
Yes.
So blessed is that generation. Yes. So I do think in that aspect, we are blessed and we are, you know, that's a something that the Lord, you know, I guess an advantage that they had that we didn't, that they physically got to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the rest of it, you know, them not having a Bible, them not, a lot of them, they just had to learn. They had to truly press into God, and they didn't have a whole lot keeping them accountable. They had the law, but they didn't have the same setup that we do. They
right.
didn't have the, you know, even before, they didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them.
That's right.
Before Jesus. And so it was just a darker time,
Amen.
A darker time. And you really had to be seeking the Lord. You know, a lot of us, we don't even seek the Lord and he finds us,
mm-hmm.
or a believer finds
yeah.
us,
yeah.
you know, crosses paths with us and then witnesses to us. And then like, there's just so many people, and it's his will that all would be saved. But in those days, you know, you see that there were so many that were just in darkness or in turmoil, suffering, you know,
right.
at the hands of another nation. And, you know, there was just a lot of hopelessness. And there was also a lot of people that didn't have the luxury to be taught the word, like only certain, you know,
yeah.
only certain ones, or if your family would teach you and
right.
by the spoken word. But there was just a lot more limitations back
yeah.
then.
Yeah. Well, you think about this, all the authors of the New Testament, they wasn't just sitting out there in the open. Well, I'm going outside today and I'm going to write. And I'm just going to sit at this table and write what I learned about Christ. They were hiding for their lives
mm-hmm.
to get the word to us.
Yeah.
I mean, none of them was out in the open revealing what they was writing and all the things that the Holy Ghost was doing. They were in private, secluded, protected by the Spirit. Places where they could write the words that Jesus and the Holy Spirit has given them to write to us. So when we think about, well, you know, they sat down and wrote this. Now, Paul wrote this, and he wrote it pretty much out in the open because he was in prison and nobody knew it. He was getting the letters out, and, you know, or wherever he was in a private area and was writing to the churches. And so when we look at these things, like you said, we have to think about those lives that were sacrificed so we would receive this word,
mm-hmm.
the New Testament.
Yeah. I've thought about that, and I've gotten very convicted before just thinking
yeah.
about, you know, we have so much available to us.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to not give myself to that, you know, it's in, you know, it's putting their labor to shame.
That's right.
You know? So.
And we understand, you know, that it was Tommy Tenney who, and I think I've mentioned Tommy Tenney before on radio here, but Tommy Tenney wrote a couple of books. He wrote one book about God chasers and then one about God catchers. And one thing we have to understand, you do not have to run after God. He is pursuing us.
Mm-hmm.
He is on hot pursuit for us. That's why we come under conviction. That's why when we do things that we feel the rebuke of the Holy Spirit, and we feel like we realize then that we need a God that can
mm-hmm.
forgive us. And so he is chasing
Amen.
Us.
Amen. I guess we'll go ahead and do our first break of the morning. Friday, question number one. What animal swallowed Jonah according to the King James Bible version? What animal swallowed Jonah according to the King James Bible version? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after this break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Praise.
I love hearing Mariah. It's been a long time since she's been over here with us in the studio, but I like hearing her spot there. So we are back, and we do have a trivia answer. Brother Greg got in there with his King James Bible. It was a great fish and a whale. A great fish and a whale is how it described that. So I guess it's saying both. I never caught that. I thought that for some reason it just said great fish, but
I think people are trying. There's been a few people though here lately that I've seen on videos that's been trying to practice being Noah out on the ocean in a kayak and being swallowed by a whale.
Oh my goodness!
Have you seen
those?
No. Oh yeah, they've been. There was one guy that was actually he got into the whale's mouth, but he spit him out. But there's been others that the boat came out, but the person didn't.
Oh my. So they're trying to reenact Jonah?
Yeah, I think they need to stay off the water.
That's wild. I've not heard about that. That's funny that the one spit the person out.
Spit him back out.
Just spit him out into the water, into wherever
they
were
at. Into
the ocean,
yeah. It just kind of, it was like the whale realized it had something foreign in its mouth and that should not be there.
Shouldn't have been there.
And it let it out of its mouth. But I'm sitting there thinking, don't you know that guy was like, oh, man, if I wasn't a Christian, I'm finding God now.
You know, I've never thought about this until right now. But imagine, you know, from him being in the stomach and getting spit out onto land, that's very just a rare phenomenon because, I mean, that would be like throwing up. It would be like throwing up your food, but I've never even heard of a whale or a big fish throwing up. You know what I mean? So it's a phenomenon for sure. because it would make sense to just spit something out, you know, but to actually, he was all the way in the pit of the whale. So,
well, when you think about a whale's not really a fish. Mm-hmm. It's a mammal. So it might have a different digestive system.
Yeah. Well, that was it. That's how they word it. Great fish and a whale. Greg got that. And I'll go ahead and read Friday question number two because we've already... Well, no, I'm looking at my other clock. I'll wait to read it at the hard break. It's 7:37, not 8:37. I can go ahead and read it. And if you all want to call in, I'll read it again at the hard break. How about that? What did Moses choose rather than... What did Moses choose rather than enjoy pleasures of sin? What did Moses choose rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin? Okay, and she's given a hint this time. It's found in Hebrews. Found in Hebrews. So what did Moses choose rather than enjoying pleasures of sin? So that's 270-257-2689. If you want to call now or you can wait. So I'm going to turn here. Let's see. I believe I am in Philippians. Let me check here. Yes, Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8 for Kingdom Corner this morning. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. And that's kind of a long passage I read here, but I love how, you know, Paul's attitude here. I love his attitude. That's what I first think that we can glean from this, is to see, just as we said earlier, this is just reminding me that the Lord, just as he says, you know, with the story of Joseph, he truly takes what the enemy intends to harm us, intends for evil, and turns it for good. And I see that attitude in Paul so often. in times where he probably doesn't want to rejoice always. But in Philippians, it starts off telling us, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And that's what he's doing. And but then I love that, you know, he's talking to brothers. He's encouraging them. He's telling them, you know, it's okay. All Christ is, we're winning. He's moving. But then he goes in to talk about the distinction between brothers becoming confident by the Lord, who are bold to speak the word without fear, and how some preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from good will. And that just had me thinking, you know, of how the wheat and the tare grow up together. And how the Lord, his will be done, despite who is trying to do it for their own personal reasons, or who's doing it for the right reasons. That's what I love. I love that the things that bother us don't bother the Lord as much. Mm-hmm. As far as we can trust the Lord that he's going to deal with the ones who are false. And, you know, we kind of talked about this last night in our study about lying and not being honest. But the ones who have other motives, we know what the word says. It will burn up. Every selfish thing that we do in the name of the Lord will burn up in the hay and stubble. It will not stand the test of the fire. And so we can trust that, you know, it might irritate our flesh while we're here on this earth. It might bring some distractions. It might bring some discord.
Right.
When people are in the faith, but they're not operating the way that they should, or they are stirring up division, or even preaching the right thing, but from a wrong spirit, how Jesus addressed it with different ones before, with being in the wrong spirit. But what I love is that, you know, Paul isn't letting that get him down here. He's not focusing on that. He is calling it out, but he's not dwelling on that. He's dwelling on all that Christ is doing through his imprisonment, mm-hmm. and how people are being reached with the gospel. Unlikely people are being reached with the gospel.
Yeah.
And I guess this, for me at least, maybe not anybody else, but for me, you know, this is the Lord just reminding me, dwell on the good, and just continue to pray for the ones who are doing it not sincerely.
Right.
You know, that they will repent so that they will be able to have something to present to the Lord. And whenever, Lord, don't just let me look at the specks in my brother's eye, but whenever I fall into this, show me, Lord. Mm. If I start to have this selfishness, if I start to walk in this not sincerity, show me, Lord. Test me, Lord. You know, I think if we will allow the Lord to test us and show us, like David said, you know, search me, O Lord,
mm-hmm.
first. Then, like this word says, we'll be able to remove the plank or remove the speck. Once we remove our own plank, we will be able to remove the speck from our brother's eye. Because if we have brothers and sisters in Christ, we should want them. We should want each other, not just them, but we should want ourselves and our brothers, all of us, to be growing in the Lord and walking in what God would want us to walk in. And so I just think that this is a great reminder to us that, you know, what we can keep our focus on, but also, you know, some things do need to be called out. Some things we need to call things out when it comes to what the word says. You know, opinions and things like that, those can be pushed aside. The word says not to debate over endless genealogies and things that are not central to the gospel,
right.
to the word. But when it comes to, you know, Jesus did call out the disciples when they were of a wrong spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should do that, but we shouldn't let it get us down. And I guess that was mainly a word for me, is sometimes I allow things to get me down, you know. But what I love is that there's always something to be thankful for, and change our perspective on what we should be dwelling on, which is, what is God doing right now? God, thank you that I'm not today where I was yesterday. Thank you that you're moving in the lives around me, that you're saving, still saving, you're still healing, you're still changing. And I think that's what Paul did. You know, I think he called out the things being that father, you know, that fatherly figure, the teacher that he was. But then he was such an encourager. And I think that's what we can pull from this. It's really the whole book of Philippians, encouragement. And it's amazing. It's amazing that he wrote that while in prison. It really is. And so it's a good book.
I think he must have been, you know, I think while he was in prison, can you imagine, instead of thinking the negative thought of why you're there or the reason why, but while you're there, in spite of the reason you're there or in spite of what else is going on, that Paul is there having a revelation for himself of the blessings that he has.
Mm.
And so because of those blessings, he begins to share out and to encourage the church at Philippi,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he knew that they needed. And they had been the ones who had taken care of him and sent him things and blessed him and
mm-hmm.
and been there for him. So Paul wanted, it's kind of like a child. I mean, Paul wanted to nurture them by letting them know, hey, you know, these are things to think of. Don't think of the bad. Think of the good.
That's so good. And I think the Lord will use those spiritual gifts, because, I mean, you see spiritual gifts at play there. You see hospitality. You see gift, you know, the gift of giving or uh-huh. helps, you know, through them sending gifts, taking care of Paul. You see those things at play. And I think that really does it. When we go out of our way to take care of one another, of uh-huh. a brother or sister in Christ, I think it does stir up a gratitude.
Sure.
It stirs up a joy and a thankfulness. And it's like the Lord can use those gifts to really open our eyes to who he is. And so I love how he works all that together.
Amen.
Because that gift of encouragement is flowing from the gift of hospitality.
That's right.
You know, gave him a boost and gave him even an encouragement to be able to further encourage.
Amen.
Because he was taken care of. And I love that, because no gift is underestimated. You know, don't underestimate any of the spiritual gifts. They're all needed.
Mm-hmm.
We need those in the body. We need hospitality. We need helps. We need mercy. We need all of these things. We need discernment. You know, they are all for the edification of the body, and we should desire them.
Amen.
You know, Paul told us to desire them. Desire prophecy, the prophecy to be able to uplift one another, build each other up in the Lord. You know, not for any personal gain or weird, spooky fortune teller type stuff.
Yeah.
But just for God's will to be done, and whatever he's speaking, that's what we got to get back to.
Amen.
We got to get back to that with the gifts, and specifically prophecy, you know, to just hear from God.
Amen.
Hear from the voice of God, whatever he's speaking. And that's going to line up with scripture, because he's not going to speak anything that goes against what he's already spoken.
That's right.
Because that would make him not a righteous God. And we just read about how righteous he is. And we know how righteous he is because of his actions have proved his righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
There was a group out several years ago. I don't know that they sing anymore, but I heard them. And it was a group called For Him. And one of the songs that they came out with, it was, we need to get back to the basics of life. And I really believe that that is something of the truth, that we do need to get back to the basics. And the basics is the biblical principles in the Bible. It doesn't have to be something of the new, some new insight, some new revelation. What about the basics?
Mm.
You know? And some of the basics is, I'm going to give you a great segue, is our relationships.
Yes.
Is, you know, because our relationships help what forms us. In one of the books we're reading, it talks about it's the sum total of who we are now, what it's brought us up to today,
mm-hmm.
Because of our relationships. Our relationships with our parents, our relationships with our spouse, and especially the relationship we have with the Father.
With the Lord. Amen.
And those are the things that help build us. It talks in that book, it talks about a mirror reflects in a man's face, but when to see what he's really like, and he's shown by his friends and who he chooses in Proverbs 27 and 19. Of course, that's out of the Living Translate, or the TLB.
Oh, the we looked this up one day.
What was that?
I think it might have been True Living Bible, something like that.
I think so. And said, you are because of your relationships. And so it got into talking about there. So everything we are, our hopes and our dreams, because we seem to draw to other people who are like-minded in mm-hmm. a way. We do like being around people who are honest with us, that can rebuke us when we need to, but they do it in a loving way. We like that. And so we're looking at all the influences in our life. Why are we where we are now, and why and what is the purpose of where we are now? And I can think of that a lot in ministry, of all the different examples that I had in my life, mm-hmm. and who input did imputed words of wisdom and things like that in my life. And so I just thank God for the people that we have on that. And sometimes we focus on maybe the wrong person instead of the right person.
Mm.
It talks about in here, it talks about focus on nurturing the relationships that are most important to you. Do we really do that? Have we been working on that? Or do we take our relationships for granted?
That one, that convicted me. Yeah. Do we nurture the ones that we have? Close ones.
Yeah. We get with people? Do we associate with people? Have we shut ourselves off? Have we shut ourselves? And sometimes when we shut ourselves off from friends, we're also shutting ourselves off from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our loneliness and in our self, maybe in our depression or despair, we forget to read the Word of God that's going to encourage us, that's going to inspire us. When we're in the Word of God, not only does it inspire us, but we want to inspire those we have a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings it out a lot in this. And it talks about marriage. And, you know, he was speaking in here, and this is by a guy by the name of, Chris Hodges. And it's What's Next is the name of the book. And in this, though, he starts talking about how that he's a pastor of a big church, about 45,000 members altogether,
wow.
You know, different campuses throughout the United States. And he's talking about how that he's had people come in for counseling because of marriages. And this is a real touchy subject, but a lot of people comes in, you know, and they want to have counseling from the pastor, and they say, well, the reason why we want this is because I don't love them anymore.
Mm.
The fire's gone out. I just don't care about them anymore. I don't want to be with them anymore. I want to do something other different because I just don't. And he goes on to explain to them, listen, the marriage ain't over.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget, like in a fireplace or in a stove, a wood burning stove, that you have the flame and you have the fire when it's burning bright, and you see the fire when it's going down, and people have come in there while there's still embers and there's still little things that's down there that's still burning. It's smoking. You can't see the fire, but it's still there. And so he tells a lot of his people, you know, the love is still there. You just need to reignite the fire again. So you have to feed the fire. You have to Amen. Maybe sometimes blow on that ember so it re-catches that kindling mm-hmm. again. And then the next thing you know, you have a small fire again, and you have a big fire. And I think why we were in our class, we talked about Fireproof, the movie Fireproof.
Yes, the movie. Love that movie.
And that's what we have to do. We get so selfish about, it's my feelings, do it my way. When it should be, if I want to be treated this way, why am I not treating her that way?
Mm.
Why am I not treating him that way? Why wouldn't I go out of my way and try to be a blessing to them? I used in some of my counseling that I teach people whenever, or I talk to people about when I'm counseling them for marriage, I say this all the time, and Kathy always laughs at me when I say this. I say, if you treat her like a queen, she'll treat you like a king. And it's so true. If we give our all to bless them,
mm-hmm.
it's automatically going to be a blessing to us, number one, because the one we love is other than Christ. It has to be Christ first. But the next one we love is our wife. If we love them with all of our heart, if we cherish them, if we're doing for them, that's automatic a blessing to us because we see our spouse being blessed
mm-hmm.
by the things we do. It isn't that you're sitting there saying, you know, like you hear money, you hear people talk about, well, you know, I'm going to give God more money because he's going to give me more money back. That's not what you're doing it for. I give God money because I have the joy of giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the same in mm-hmm. relationships when we look at that we try to restart relationships and we try to rekindle things.
And I think the Lord really, I think we talked about this too, but for the single people, you know, the Lord will allow you to start practicing these things with other relationships.
Yeah.
Because it does go across the board.
It does.
How he wants, love your neighbor as yourself was the Amen. Second greatest commandment.
You know, in the next thing he talks about is choose to restore the broken relationships in your life. How many times do we think about the people maybe we hurt or the people that hurt us? How do we restore that relationship? And one of the things that we talked about in our class was, you know, when you have a dispute with a friend or someone, when you go and pray about it and you take it to God in prayer, for me, it's like the Lord saying, instead of waiting on them to come and apologize, why don't you just go and apologize? You see, if we make the first step, then I think God honors that. And they may not apologize back, but at least it's off of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've apologized and I've tried to make it right. And the Bible does let us know that, you know, you make restitution where possible. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes it's something other that's beyond your control. But we can't allow pride in our relationships to rule us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should apologize to me. No, I need to make it right with them. And so we're making choices. We're choosing. We're doing things. And we make the choice, well, I'll do it because when I feel like it. No, you do it whether you feel like it or not. It talks about, you know, about in here in Colossians 3 and 13 about bearing with each other and forgiving one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. You know, we forget that why shouldn't I forgive them first?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to wait for? And you find that in forgiveness, you find health
mm-hmm.
and substance and food and release, because now you're not in bondage, you're in freedom because you've allowed your relationship now to be driven in love instead of, I don't know the word I'm looking for here, instead of being selfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we'll come back to this forgiveness after the heartbreak. We are at the heartbreak. And Miss Lisa Ashball, was that right? I read that right. She got the second trivia question, and that was to suffer affliction with the people of God. To suffer affliction with the people of God. That was what Moses chose, rather to enjoy pleasures of sin. So we'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we're back here for this last little, we got about 25 minutes before Brother Jason comes over with Mr. Bjork and they do their science segment this morning, but we're going to get into some more things on relationships and this forgiveness part. And if you guys have any questions or comments, again, continue to text in. Thank you for those who have interacted this morning, and I love what you all have said about our conversation. Miss Lisa getting in there with the, you know, the how the Lord truly does write our story. And last thing she said, I didn't read this one, but can you imagine how radical we would have been if we actually witnessed the resurrection and saw him those 40 days?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it would have been, it would be amazing. But I think the thing is, you know, we have to depend on the Lord, but I think the Lord is also always about empowering us and giving us boldness to walk in his ways.
Amen.
You know, to not have to stay on the milk or stay holding his hand, but get to the point where he's living inside of us and we can walk out his mission.
Amen.
You know, he wants to us to grow. And so yes. I think that's part of why, you know, he didn't stay so long.
No.
He said the Comforter must come, and because greater things will we do together. You know, he knew, he wanted, his way is for, he created the earth for men to carry out these things, for his people to carry out what he wanted done in
amen.
The earth. And so, amen. But back to this relationships. And I think, I love what it says about, you know, it's the thing that everything else is built upon. Like, we cannot have Christianity without the body of Christ,
right.
Without fellowship, without community.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not possible. We would have to totally take Acts, the book of Acts, well, really the whole New Testament, and really the whole Bible, because they even had fellowship in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And they had the gathering. And, you know, imagine they wouldn't have been able to survive, because they had to rely on each other and the priests and, you know, the ones,
yes.
The ones ministering in the temple. You know, it takes all of us. It takes that community.
Amen.
And so to think that we can do this thing without relationship, it's just has to be a lie from the enemy.
True.
And how many times have we seen people, excuse me, who, you know, believed that lie? And they allowed themselves to stay in isolation and stay in a place of darkness because they thought, they believed the lie that, well, I don't need the church. I don't need anybody. I am the church and that's all I need. It's so easy with the mindset, that mindset, to get into pride, to get into rebellion, to get into depression and loneliness. And just a place where the enemy can run rampant.
Yes.
And the great thing about fellowship and relationships is the accountability that comes with it. And the joy. You know, there's joy in the Lord. But the Lord, even when people would fellowship and be in the secret place with him, he would often lead them. He led them to other people.
Amen.
Would you agree with that? I mean,
mm-hmm.
when men were in the secret place, in the place of prayer throughout the scripture, he would lead them and give them a mission that always involved other people.
That's right.
He never allowed anybody to stay in isolation.
Uh-uh.
He didn't allow Elijah. He said, he thought he was the only one. And he said, I have all these other people.
Yeah. I got 7,000 that
so,
has a knee, bowed their knee to Baal.
Get out of that pity party,
yep.
and get over here, you know. And he even, Paul and Ananias, you know, Ananias did not want, he already had a community of people. He didn't want to go to, that's another word, you know, the Lord will put us in the path of people that we don't want to be in the path with. Mm-hmm. We don't want to fellowship with. Mm-hmm. We don't, our flesh is, doesn't want to be connected with another flesh. But the Lord, you know, he told Ananias, the other Ananias, not Ananias and Sapphira, but to go and pray, you know, prophesy to Paul and lay hands on him.
Right.
And right after, he had been persecuting Christians and he had not been converted very long. I mean, he had just basically been blinded by the Lord. And it's like God could have just healed Paul at salvation. At that encounter, he could have been completely healed. Because when we receive Jesus, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are made whole.
Amen.
But there's a reason that he didn't.
Amen.
There's a reason, and I believe that reason was for Ananias.
Yeah.
I do. I believe it was to change his heart towards Paul and to bring them, them together.
Yeah, how could they trust Paul if he came in there whole and he didn't need anybody? They were worried anyway that he was going to put them in prison because that was his purpose on coming. So if he would have went in there whole, that would have been, I'm not going in there.
So God works all things together too, and he knows our thoughts, he knows our heart, he knows, but he's always trying to get us, to see the way that he sees and to obey so that we can receive what he wants us to receive.
Amen.
And I believe that for Ananias was receiving that new love, like having a love for Paul and learning, you know, the scriptures that talk about loving your enemy, Jesus's teachings with loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you and despitefully. Like he was one of the fresh ones who got to live out that verse.
That's right.
Live out those scriptures. And I know it wasn't easy because honestly, a lot of us, we don't, here in America, we don't have to face a lot of the things that they did. I mean, I complain and I'm thinking through some things that I just don't want to do. You know, we all have that same will of things that we don't want to do, but I can't imagine like my options and the things that I have to do being some of the things that they had to, you know, facing a murderer.
Right.
And going and the Lord, he calls us to radical things. I know people who have, you know, prayed for murderers and engaged with them. And I've heard of testimonies of even people who were going to murder somebody, and then the Lord radically changed them and set them free.
Yeah.
We have a brother who shared his testimony on that on the radio. But all that to say, you know, we forget just how well we have it sometimes.
Yes.
And I think part of that gratitude and part of our perspective getting right is realizing that truly we can always say that somebody has it worse than us, because if we're the person on the earth that's going through the worst possible thing, even worse than these guys in scripture, we know that Jesus had it worse.
Amen.
Nobody can trump the Jesus. Jesus it had it worse than anybody in the whole history from beginning to end.
That's right.
So we're without excuse of being grateful. We can we can always be grateful for that one thing if we aren't grateful for anything else.
True.
But most of the time, especially us here, we should be grateful for a lot more than that. A lot more. So, I don't know where I got off on that, but was there anything else in the relationships? I know we were talking about forgiveness, but was there anything after that?
On the final part on forgiveness, you know, Peter was having a real problem with forgiveness. He was really dealing with some stuff, you know. Maybe some of the other apostles was just really getting on his nerves, and he may have been arguing with them or whatever, and so Peter asked Jesus, I guess Jesus told him something other about forgiving his brother, and he says, well, basically, how many times I got to forgive him? 7 times? And Jesus said, no, 7 times 70. You know, in other words, quit counting. How many times that you have to forgive your brother? So we should walk basically in a state of forgiveness, not that you have to accept somebody's assault on you or something other like that, but you forgive them regardless of the assault, but you may have to bring it to their attention that they assaulted you, whether it's verbally or physically. or whatever. And one of the things in here, you know, is forgiveness is one of the healthiest habits that we can have, because it releases us from the prison that we can put ourselves in of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And bitterness and resentments and wanting to be vengeful and get revenge for what other people's done.
Hear that, Roger? There was an inside joke during the break.
Yeah, yeah.
He said
it. And so the next thing that it talks about, you know, in the relationships is know when to walk away.
Mm.
There are very unhealthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe God leads us to that place where we know that we need to walk away. It doesn't mean that you don't forgive and that you don't try to make restitution in that circumstance. But, you know, because of the things that continue happening,
mm-hmm.
and the things that keep tearing you away from God and keeps hurting you, sometimes you have to pull away. You can still be friendly, and you can still love that person, but it doesn't mean that you have to be with that person on a daily basis. You have to walk away, and because of abuse and different things that's in that relationship. So you have to evaluate that and go in that. And then the last thing on there that it was talking about is being real. Risk mm-hmm. of being real with people. Risk of showing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like to people see ourselves, because we want to put on that mask. We want to put on that facade of who we act like we are in church, and we want people to see that person. But who's the real person when we get home? What do we act like at home? How do we treat our children? How do we treat our family? How do we treat our parents? How do we treat our friends? You know, so it is something other that we have to do is to take a chance of being real. And a lot of times we don't try to get around other people is because we worry about that. People sometimes think that other people know things about them that they really don't. So maybe they're living in sin or they're not doing the right thing, and they go to somebody who they go to church with, and they're afraid that they might see them for who they really are, instead of who they're trying to make people think they are. But when we're living right, we have to take the risk of being real. Some people are afraid to pray in public for their food. Some, you know, there's so many Christians that go to out to eat lunch in a restaurant, and somebody might be offended if I pray in front of somebody, might say something other to us, you know, or we might get verbally assaulted. And take a chance on being real. Take a chance on living for God. There's other times people are attacked in different ways, so we have to be real with people. Our relationships matter more than what we think they do.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said at the very beginning, relationships is what helps build the character within us. And we have to...
harms the character.
Harms us.
Yeah.
And we got to get past the think of what others might think about us. If we're living for the Lord, if they don't like us because we're living for the Lord, that's their problem and not ours.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do that regardless of what other people think. Because fear prevents us a lot of times from doors that God has opened for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of our relationships, our fears of how people look at us, then we're not doing the right thing. So take off the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Be real. Take the chance. Take the risk of being real. And others will see who you are and respect you because of who you are. And, you know, being in a church community is one of those things that we can we can look at it and say, you know, God loves me, and I'm going to love other people, and I'm around God's people. And so take that chance of being real in your relational areas.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, God created us the way he did with a purpose.
Amen.
You know, as long as we're not sinning, you know, as long as we're serving him, having fruit of the Spirit, while it's sad that we would want to hide how he has created us.
That's right.
You know, because even humor, you know, some people, maybe that people don't really know that they have some humor. You know, maybe they hide that because they feel like they can't show it. I do think God, you know, he created humor to bring a joy and a mm-hmm. lightness to mm-hmm. And to, you know, help people feel good.
Right.
And so that's something that can be shared, that can be used for his glory. And I think being who he's called us to be, it brings that flavor, that different flavor to the body of Christ, to the world, you know. And not just that, but whatever it may be, even the wisdom, you know, there's people, God created people and gave people wisdom, gave people analytical ways of thinking that's more, you know, analytical.
Yep.
And just different ways of wiring us. And we need to figure out what those are and thank God for that,
Amen.
You know, not try to hide that. And I'm thankful that, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord sets us free and he gives us freedom. Like, freedom is the ability to be who God's created you to be without fear, mm-hmm. without shame, without any, but the enemy brings shame. The enemy brings fear. The enemy brings all of these things that make us want to hide, makes us want to not be free and joyful. And anytime that that's happening in relationships or an environment or even your church or family, that's not how God would want it to be. And so I would, you know, just encourage us all to pray about, you know, if there's an environment that's not, there's not freedom for us to be who God's called us to be. And if we feel ashamed and scared to speak up and just all of those works of the flesh, then we need to pray, Lord, show us how this environment can change to an environment of freedom in you, where your spirit can be here and not be hindered, not be quenched.
That's right. Lord. Amen. Finally, you know, if you want a deeper, meaningful relationships with others, we have to really cultivate our relationship with God, with Jesus. If we don't have that relationship first and experience the love of Christ, it's hard to show the love of Christ. We have to be really focused upon our relationship with the Lord, and that helps us then focus on the relationships with others. And God wants us to have that relationship with him. He wants us to live without fear. He wants us to live in love. And it's hard to love other people if you don't love God and you don't have the love of God in your heart.
Amen.
That's the only way we do find love. So we go to God for forgiveness. We go to God for healing. We go to God for deliverance. We have to go to God for mm-hmm. our relationships.
Yeah. Amen. And he will give us he'll guide us. He'll give us the courage to speak the things that are hard.
Amen.
To speak. And if not anybody else, I definitely needed to hear this today. And, you know, I think it's just a powerful thing to remember in that we do need to prioritize our closest relationships, but we also, you know, the word tells us to live peaceably with, if at all possible, live peaceably with all men, you know.
Amen.
And I think these, even if it's not a close relationship, it is a relationship if we have any type of interaction, you know, yes. with each other. And in the body of Christ, I'll share this. We only have a few minutes left, and we'll go to break. We might go to break play a few songs so we can get situated and transitioned here.
Yep.
But I do want to share this if I can find it. It was on my heart yesterday. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Mm-hmm. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And then it skips down to verse 36. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So that's why we can show mercy. That's why we can, you know, do to those who aren't treating us the way that we want to be treated. We can do to them the way we want to be treated.
Right.
It's by the love of God. It's by the Spirit.
Amen.
It's by His might, by His power. And I'm thankful for that, that, you know, He gives us a way. He is the way. He's the way to love. He's the way to forgive. We don't have to do it in ourselves.
No.
It's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But we can. He's that doorway. He's that way that we're able to do this. So
that's right.
Thankful for that. Amen.
It talks, you know, if we made a list of people who are, who have made a difference in our life, who have, that we still impacted with, to say a prayer over them daily. You know, as you go into your prayer closet, you should have a list of all of those. I remember as a child, you know, you go through and you say, Mom, bless, or Lord, bless Mama, Lord, bless Daddy, and bless this person. Mm-hmm. You go down the list. Well, we should have a list of people that we know that God, we want God to bless and to be with, and to pray for them. Paul asked prayer for himself. He said, you know, keep me in your prayers. You know, in Ephesians in chapter 6, when he gets through talking about the whole armor of God,
mm-hmm.
he goes, pray for me with all prayer and supplication.
Mm.
You know, so we need prayer. Mm-hmm. And people that I'm friends with, I pray that they're praying for me, and I want to be praying for them.
Amen. Amen. And that's part of keeping those relationships strong, too.
Yeah.
There's an old quote, and we'll leave with this. Go ahead and go to break. But a couple who prays together stays together.
Yeah.
And I think that's friends who pray together stay together.
Amen.
Truly. Pray for one another. Pray together when God, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Brother Rick, for coming on with us this morning. And I really appreciate it. I'm thankful for this book and the wisdom that's in there and the wisdom that you brought to the table. So thank you. And we will be going to break, and Brother Jason and Mr. Bjork will be coming on shortly. So thank you, guys. And we will go ahead and head out now.
Okay, we're back this morning, excuse me. we are back and finishing out our final segment of the week, and we thank you for tuning in and being part of our morning. Mr. Charles Bjork, how are you this morning?
I'm here, and great to be with you.
All right. Glad you're with me, and excited for what we got in store today. How is things going your way?
Pretty fair.
All right. And did you all take advantage of that big moon the other day? What was that called?
I didn't. I was kind of annoyed because I couldn't get the folks in this house to get out and look at it while they could see it.
Well, yeah. They said that was the largest full moon of the year, at least visible to us. Boy, it was bright, I will say. I was coming home from church, and boy, it was,
Turns out that the moon was just at the right angle to collect a whole bunch of light that could be reflected, let's see it.
Well, that's good. How are the fall foliage and leaves and everything changing, looking like we're heading into Thanksgiving, right?
Yesterday afternoon and this morning, it's quite cool.
Yeah, it's about to change here. I think we gotta have some rain today, maybe, and then heading into some cooler weather. They're talking about weather lows in the 20s coming up next week, I believe. So
Well,
I guess it'll be coming your way as well. But we didn't come to talk about the weather. We came to talk about science. I guess that is related. So, but anyway,
yeah.
What do we got going on today in the world of science?
Yeah, we have some very exciting things happening where you never get any excitement.
Okay.
That's the outer edge of the solar system.
All right.
It's so far out. The stuff that's out there, first of all, it's very cold, and therefore it's farthest away from the sun, so there's no way to get any radiation from it. Very, very difficult. So if something new happens out there, it's quite a phenomenon.
Yeah.
So a couple of things we noticed. You might remember a couple of years ago we had the thing they called Planet Nine.
Right. I remember talking about that a week or so ago.
Yeah, we crashed through the solar system out there at the edge, and it kind of excited everybody. And then we've been doing a lot of analysis to find out where Planet Nine is or where it should have been. Mm-hmm. And then now we're beginning to doubt a lot of things because of the latest things that we're starting to get.
Right.
And in fact, they're starting to say that maybe there isn't a Planet Nine, but there is another solar system out here somewhere. And so they're going to try. They've calculated from the change in the angle of the Kuiper Belt.
Okay.
To determine from that what, how big it is likely to be. And it also tells them that, a thing that we called Planet Nine, years ago, may not have been Planet Nine. And then recently they came up with another one they called a Planet Y.
Planet Y?
Planet Y.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
They're not very creative, I was thinking. That we'll find out later. But right now, Chang from Princeton, New Jersey, is the one who's getting most of this stuff out. It's perihelion of this thing is the closest point to the sun is 44.5 times that of Earth's orbit.
Oh my goodness!
Pretty far out. It's sort of similar to Pluto's orbit, and so that's probably going to complicate things a little bit because there's not a whole lot of radiation from Pluto either. But they're looking at the perihelion, which is the closest orbit to the sun. Right now, it looks like 44.5 times the size of Earth's orbit. So it's analogous to Pluto's orbit. So it has a similar orbit to Pluto, or at least a piece of its trajectory goes the same distance as Pluto. Who knows? It depends on how exotic the orbit is, the aphelion versus perihelion. So before we can know a whole lot about that, but these the transneptunian objects are, there's lots of chunks of ice and rocks out there, and of course it's bad enough that they're small and they're so far out because they're astronomical units, the distance from the Earth to the Sun, so it's 30 of those out there. And so finding stuff is not easy. So it'll be very interesting to see what's causing all the excitement, that's for sure.
Sure, yeah.
A lot of instruments have come around in my year to look at the Kuiper Belt. And the most distant object so far is called Far, Far Out. It's 400 kilometers across, so it's not a whole lot. It's a Mercury type of a planet, and it's 132 astronomical units. So we're talking really far out. So they've got what they call a dark energy camera legacy survey details, as it is, dark energy camera legacy survey, and the France Hawaii telescope CFHD in 2011 and 2018 decals, and CHFT team managed to observe 2017 OF201 a total of 19 times. The data allowed the team to characterize the object and its orbit with a high degree of certainty. It's kind of amazing. Look at the chart. It has very elongated orbit around the sun, so it's a huge, gets out to a huge distance beyond around the sun, and which is kind of makes us wonder, are there other stuff like this out there?
Right.
And so there's going to be quite a bit of excitement. People are going to be looking around for other orbits like this, these extreme ellipses, because they can be far out, but they also could be far in. You don't want something coming into the near inner part of the solar system that's like that. It'd be really a problem. So they call that part of the hyperbelt. They call it the inner Oort cloud, and it's got mostly has just rocks and ice objects in it, but evidently, years ago, you got fooled enough to think that planet 9 was here. Now we're looking at planet Y, and now we've got this new object. So maybe we've got more of them out there than we know. But it's a different orbit from all the grouped orbits of the previous discoveries and orbits of things in the Kuiper Belt.
Yeah.
And
we're just going to have to do something about that name, though, Planet Y. We're going to have to start a campaign to get it changed somehow.
Got to have something more interesting than name. They want to make sure there's really something there before they have to stick a name on it. I mean, that's part of the problem.
Though. Right, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, the thing that causes us, what we thought we had with Planet 9 was the gravitational interaction with Neptune. And because it's so far out in the system that they didn't expect that there anything would be doing anything with the orbit of Neptune. And but that's how, we found Pluto years ago by looking at the disruption between Uranus and Neptune. And that's how we found Pluto. So it turns out what caused us to find Pluto, it may cause us to find out this object that's in the outer side of the Kuiper Belt. So be interesting. Let's see what they come up with.
Sure, yeah.
Looking forward to that. That should be coming out not too soon. Anything that creates excitement in the astronomy community is going to be interesting, to say the least. We really want to know if there really is a Planet 9, and of course, that new planet we just found called Planet Y, we'd like to know if there's anything more in the Kuiper Belt and beyond. It's something that we really need to know. And there's a lot of things going on in some of these large planets and in terms of their material on the planet itself that may be of great interest. So you can see there's a lot of excitement about this right now. So Chang has got himself into a good area of development right now.
Right.
So 2017 OF201 is officially announced in the International Astronomical Union and described in a paper that's available on preprint so far. ARXIV is the organization pushing that. So hopefully we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah, a lot of excitement even in the outer edge of the solar system. And it gives us reasons that we can reach further out into space than we have right now. And so that's a lot of piece of good news there. And we don't have a lot of, like I said, we don't have a lot of new excitement in that part of the digital.
Well, I guess it's just so hard to study that part of the universe.
Exactly.
So, I guess when you get news like that, yeah, you would jump right on it.
A different story.
Yeah.
So it's got a little bit of an excitement there. And it got, those guys actually need a lot to get excited about because there's not a lot happening in that part of the solar system. But glad to see that something more exciting is going on out there than normally. And we still have everything that we're working towards, the big push to Moon on 2026 and Mars coming up, and the details on all of that develops.
Right, and that's with SpaceX, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. I saw they gave Elon a I don't know if that was a raise or I don't know what it was, but it was $1 trillion, I think, wasn't it?
I didn't see the size of it, but I know they think a lot of him right now.
I think it was Tesla, yeah. They gave him quite the pay raise, I guess it was. I didn't really read the whole story, but.
Yeah. It turns out my granddaughter is going to marry a guy who just got a job at SpaceX.
Oh, okay.
Real excited about it. Nobody else is in the family. They think they're going to get. Jordan's going to be disappearing out into deep space.
Maybe you could be a fill-in for him, a proxy, I guess.
There you go.
I don't think Mary would go for that, though.
Yeah, I'll be real excited about whatever they come up with there, because that's really interesting place for new development.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to find some other things about the those distant planets, Uranus and the planets around Mars, or about Jupiter and Saturn, because there's some unusual things happening in the ocean-type surface of some of those, and it's going to be a new study entirely. So it's really excited about that. You know, not a whole lot happens in deep space. Like now, we got lots of things happening all of a sudden. So that's going to be good news for all the astronomers. So I'll look forward to whatever we can come up with there.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. They had the comment that. I was talking about Africa, the worst monster in Africa turns out to be the humans.
Yeah, that's usually the case.
Yeah. So this is an analogous situation with planets, and we couldn't believe it was going to be of any interest to significance, and all of a sudden you've got a lot of interest going on as a result. That's what they can possibly be and where they might be going. And like I say, those orbits are so radical that, we may end up with something with an orbit that comes into the inner part of the solar system. It'd be very bad, but there's some possibility. So I hope it's not the case.
Sure. Yeah.
So 2017 OF201 is... something that's just basically it got to be a dwarf planet, and so it's nothing like what we thought Planet Nine was. Planet Nine was gigantic enough to mess up the whole Kuiper Belt. So there's another thing like that going on. So we're going to have a couple of those. The perihelion is the big worry, because that's how close it gets to the sun, and we don't want anything like that coming crashing through Earth's orbit if we can avoid it.
Oh, absolutely.
So
any hopes of any alien life out there that far out?
They're still looking for some possible alien light in the seas, the oceans there, and some of the moons of Uranus, Saturn and Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our, right now, the biggest prospect for any new kinds of life. And we found some things in the atmosphere which could be the result of a living organism on the those planets, lakes, and oceans.
Okay.
But they're going to be dealing with that in great detail. We got a big mission going out there in a couple of years, which is going to really try to eliminate some more of that. You know, be anxious for that to get into place. And that's, again, SpaceX is in that loop as well. And I encouraged my granddaughter to stay close to the guy she decided that she's going to marry because he's a superstar. And I'll be glad to see him be successful. I'm anxious to have a really good conduit of good information about that.
Oh, yeah. You'll be picking his brain quite often.
Yeah. So we'll hope it happens. And, in the meantime, there's a lot of reason to take some of these deep space probes and take them a little more seriously than we have been. And, everybody's anxious to go to Mars and to do the development of the South Pole of the Moon. I'm excited about that as well. But there's a large different missions that are need to be addressed, and I'm hoping we're going to be on top of all of them as much as possible.
Sure. And that's the ones that SpaceX are sending to the moon. That's the Artemis program, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
The Artemis program now. Yeah. They basically explain the Artemis program.
Okay.
It turns out. Yeah.
And they're going to try to speed up how quickly they get that mission to the moon.
Right, and get stuff back. You know, once you get stuff there and you got to get them in orbit around the moon so you can found and send the information back to Earth, it's a really good thing to do rather than just rely on some sort of a system that's designed by the surface of the moon itself, the South Pole. So this is a good thing for it to be happening.
Okay. I can't remember. Are the Artemis missions, are they manned or unmanned at this point?
They're both.
Okay.
They obviously want to make sure that the technology is adequate for human transportation, but they're going to be both, right, going to be a heavy duty science with humans on board.
Okay.
Very soon. And I'm happy to say, because I'm getting old, I don't want anything to be too far in the future.
All right.
I don't know how, observing things from heaven, I don't know how good that's going to be. It's only science.
Yeah, well, I would say it'd be a better vantage point than here on Earth, but.
Yeah, I would think so. A lot of resource there that we might not have here.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully right. We'll have feedback from some of these, there was a little missions were of less excitement because most people are worried about Mars and the moon.
Yeah.
Right. But we got some other things we'd like to get working on, and of course the deep space probes. We're going to probably see a lot of data now coming back from those because of what we're finding right now out there in Kuiperbelt.
Okay. All right. And I don't guess there's any hope on the horizon at this point to have anything other than just space or the telescopes, anything out that far.
Yeah. There is a deep space probe going to be made to the moons of Jupiter and Saturn.
Okay.
And that we'll probably get some good feedback from those. But, I'm I would like to see something more going down to the surface of either Jupiter or Saturn as soon as possible, so we can find out what's going on there and see if there's any reason to be excited about it. And that's something that we'll probably know here in the next year or two.
Okay.
The NEOWISE program is going to be coming, starting to produce a lot of output, I'll be feeding that back as fast as I can get it. So, look forward to that.
Sure, absolutely.
The good news is we've got China's also interested in getting some activity to the moon, and I haven't heard anything about specific about how interested in Mars they might be, but the more interest that we have from human sources, the better it is there's something interesting going to happen, and happy to see it. I know they came up with a good guy from Princeton is a Chinese scientist, astrophysicist, we have a lot of good talent here, and some of them are from the Chinese system, so glad that we got them working with us.
Sure, yeah.
And hopefully we'll get more on top of what's going on in the Kuiper Belt. Like I say, it's not as much interest because there's nothing big and exciting going on in there, except a number of them. For example, we're finding that the screw up that's happening in the Kuiper Belt right now is because they think the best description is that there's a planet we haven't discovered yet out there. And it's not surprising that we haven't discovered it yet because of that, because it's just so far out. But could have a very, the orbit Kuiper Belt is a real critical thing because it can be a super hyperbolic one and could have a lot of trapped to this our sun, but still really far from many of our planets.
Okay.
We've got a couple of good telescopes that are doing that, both the German hopefully Russia is still in that business. They get stop doing the stupid thing they're doing with Ukraine and get back to other work. I think everybody will be happy.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
We and the Russians will be happy about it.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's probably a good stopping point for us today. That kind of brings us to a good close.
Yep.
But
excitement, probably.
What's that?
New excitement next week.
Absolutely. We'll be ready to go next week. And we got Thanksgiving approaching, so we won't have a program on the week of Thanksgiving, of course. But up until then, I think we got 3 more weeks after this one before we get to Thanksgiving break. But always enjoy this time together, Mr. Bjork. I appreciate you calling in.
It's terrific. And my wife will be excited to know that there's going to be a more opportunity for us to entertain all the people we got coming in for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My favorite holiday by far. But all right, Mr. Bjork, thank you so much. And thanks to all of our listeners. Thank you for making Mornings with Box 2 part of your week. Join us back here Monday. Pastor Aaron will be back with us on Monday. He'll be home and looking forward to having all of our listeners back and our whole family back together. And so join us Monday morning, 7 a.m. Have a great weekend. God bless.